Chapter 69. His eyes looked at it while, without haste, he shifted his seat from the thwart to the gunwale. They looked at it fixedly, while his hand, feeling about his waist, unbuttoned the flap of the leather case, drew the revolver, cocked it, brought it forward pointing at his breast, pulled the trigger, and, with convulsive force, sent the still-smoking weapon hurtling through the air. His eyes looked at it, while he fell forward, and hung with his breast on the gunwale, and the fingers of his right hand hooked under the thwart. They looked at his gun, he stammered out, in a sudden flow of blood. His last thought was, "Colon, I wonder how that Capitus died." The stiffness of the fingers relaxed, and the lover of Antonia Avellanos rolled overboard without having heard the chord of silence snap in the solitude of the placid gulf, whose glittering surface remained untroubled by the fall of his body. A victim of the disillusioned weariness which is the retribution meted out to intellectual audacity, the brilliant Don Martin Decad, weighted by the bars of Santome silver, disappeared without a trace, swallowed up in the immense indifference of things. His sleepless, crouching figure was gone from the side of the Santome silver, and for a time the spirits of good and evil, that hover near every concealed treasure of the earth, might have thought that this one had been forgotten by all mankind. Then, after a few days, another form appeared striding away from the setting sun to sit motionless and awake in the narrow black gully all through the night, in nearly the same pose, in the same place in which had sat that other sleepless man who had gone away forever so quietly in a small boat, about the time of sunset. And the spirits of good and evil, that hover about a forbidden treasure, understood well that the silver of Santome was provided now with a faithful and lifelong slave. The magnificent Capitus de Cargadors, victim of the disenchanted vanity which is the reward of audacious action, sat in the weary pose of a hunted outcast through a night of sleeplessness as tormenting as any known to Decad, his companion in the most desperate affair of his life. And he wondered how Decad had died. But he knew the part he had played himself. First a woman, then a man, abandoned both in their last extremity, for the sake of this accursed treasure. It was paid for by a soul lost, and by a vanished life. The blank stillness of awe was succeeded by a gust of immense pride. There was no one in the world, but Guyon Battista Fidanza, Capitus de Cargadors, the incorruptible and faithful Nostromo, to pay such a price. He had made up his mind that nothing should be allowed now to rob him of his bargain. Nothing. Decad had died. But how? That he was dead he had not a shadow of a doubt. But for ingots? What for? Did he mean to come for more some other time? The treasure was putting forth its latent power. It troubled the clear mind of the man who had paid the price. He was sure that Decad was dead. The island seemed full of that whisper. Dead. Gone. And he caught himself listening for the swish of bushes, and the splash of the footfalls, in the bed of the brook. Dead. The talker, the novio of Dona Antonia. Ha, he murmured, with his head on his knees, under the livid clouded dawn breaking over the liberated Sulaco, and upon the gulf as gray as ashes. I it is to her that he will fly. To her that he will fly. And for ingots. Did he take them in revenge, to cast a spell, like the angry woman who had prophesied remorse and failure, and yet had laid upon him the task of saving the children? Well, he had saved the children. He had defeated the spell of poverty and starvation. He had done it all alone, or perhaps helped by the devil. Who cared? He had done it, betrayed as he was, and saving by the same stroke the Santome mine, which appeared to him hateful and immense, lording it by its vast wealth over the valor, the toil, the fidelity of the poor, over war and peace, over the labors of the town, the sea, and the campo. The sun lit up the sky behind the peaks of the Cordillera. The Capitas looked down for a time upon the fall of loose earth, stones, and smashed bushes, concealing the hiding place of the silver. I must grow rich very slowly, he meditated, aloud. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.